On any given day, God is good, and He's blessed us to be able to be here this morning to worship Him in spirit and truth. And I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful that you are here. Appreciate the good job that Zach did in reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 5, when Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Corinth, and he says these words, an admonition to them, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If you listen to the radio program, there's probably a continuation of that, and I hope you did have opportunity to listen to the program this morning. Maybe you'll be able to catch the one this afternoon, because we talked about examine yourselves. And this came from our class with upstairs this past Wednesday, and this reference was in our material, and I thought that would make such a good sermon. When I think about this statement, examine yourselves, I've got to apply it to me, and you do to you too. Obviously, the context is he's writing to the Christians at Corinth, but all of us have to do some self-examination along the way. That doesn't mean that I can't help you and you can't help me. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. But there is some self-inventory that I've got to do that you can't do for me. And there's some self-examination that you have to do that I can't do for you, though we can help one another. So I want us to think about this phrase, examine yourselves, and I'll give you about 10 points or so if I can get through that many. But the first one that I want us to think about is what he says in the text, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I'm convinced that I'm talking to a room full of people that understand when he says in the faith that he's talking about in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the gospel, in the only system by which you can be saved. But the world doesn't see it that way. And when we talk to people in the world, a priest on the radio that came on this morning, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. We really got to break that down for people. And that's not to insult people's intelligence. But so many times people don't do things, not because they don't like the truth, not because they despise God, but because they are just void of an understanding. They're void of knowledge that you have. And so you got to show people that he says, in the faith. He did not say, examine yourselves whether you be in a faith, but in the faith. There ain't but one faith. How do I know that? I would not know that there was but one faith except God told me so as revealed in the Bible, and you wouldn't either. You see, the reason a lot of people think that one is as good as another is because they don't take what the Bible says about it. For what saith the Scriptures? Romans 4 and in verse 3. In Ephesians 4 verse 3 he says, to make sure that we are in the faith, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then he goes on to talk about seven ones. That'd be a sermon all on its own. 7 points in that passage. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one hope of your calling, one Spirit, and so forth. In the faith. There is but one faith, and that is the gospel of Christ. In Galatians 1, Paul said that he marveled. He's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And then I think about Galatians chapter 1 into Galatians chapter 2. And Paul says that he once tried to destroy the faith. And then he says, I'm preaching it. Well, the faith he's talking about is the faith or the gospel of Christ. That's not talking about what I believe. That's talking about the system by which I can be saved. The Bible does talk about faith from the standpoint of I believe it. And it's an obedient faith. James chapter 2. The faith without which it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The faith that comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. I ask you this morning, what I say to you, I say to me. I've got to examine myself whether I be in the, not a, but the faith. In but one faith. And that's established on the pages of the Bible. Number two. Examine yourselves whether you be in your sins. Are you a Christian or are you not? I'll make that more plain. Are you a Christian? I did not say, are you Christian? That's a misuse of a Bible term. The Bible never uses the word Christian as an adjective, never, to describe an individual. Like a Christian denomination, so never. It's always a noun, and three times that it's used in the New Testament, always as a noun. I'm asking the question, are you a Christian, a child of God, or are you in your sins? Am I in my sins? Now, I've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. I am dead in my sins and my trespasses. Do you know an individual can be dead though they live physically? I know so because Paul talks about that in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 13. You were dead in your sin and your trespass. And a similar statement in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1. And if I've never obeyed the gospel, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, is not my Father. You see, we're sons and daughters of God when we are separated from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about that. And only when I obey the gospel am I in the family of God. I can't help but to think about what Paul stated, recorded in Acts the 13th chapter, when Elymas the sorcerer tried to seek in turning the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, who was a prudent man, tried to turn him away from hearing the faith. Paul called him an enemy of all righteousness. He said, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Called him a child of the devil. I don't want to be categorized as a child of the devil, do you? Probably none of us do. Then we need to obey the gospel. If you're here this morning and you're in your sins, you examine yourself and say, you know what, I'm in my sins. I've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and why not obey this morning? Number three, examine yourselves whether you be in the, that's to the exclusion of any other, same as here, in the church. If you've obeyed the gospel, you're in the church. Times when I've had a home Bible study with individuals, I'm sure you've had to do the same thing along the way. We've got to explain to individuals, you do not become a Christian and then join yourself to the church. Now, does the Bible ever mention about joining the disciples? Well, sure it does. When Paul tried to join himself to the brethren, but they were afraid of him because they had heard of his past. We need to understand that when we obey the gospel, we come out of our sins in obedience to the gospel. The Lord adds us to the church before we have the chance to join anything. Acts 2 and in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you were brought up being taken to the services of the Church of Christ, and then in years to come you obey the gospel and you're a member of the Church of Christ, I don't know about you, but many times I've been accused of, well, you're just a member of the Church of Christ because your mom and dad was. Well, if you wasn't brought up in the Church of Christ, you wouldn't be a member of the Church of Christ. Well, you might be right about that. That had I never been taught the truth, who knows where I'd been? Had it not been for godly parents, who knows where I would have been? I remember my father saying many times along the way, if it wasn't for the prayers of my mother and father, I probably wouldn't be here today. So I'm thankful for that. But I'm not a member of the Church of Christ because my parents was. They didn't make me obey the gospel. I chose to obey the gospel. And I became a member of the Church of Christ because I knew it was the right thing to do. And it was a church that you read about in the Bible. You don't read about any other. Nowhere do you read about any other church in the pages of the Bible except the Lord's church, which is the Church of Christ. That's so simple. You have to have help to misunderstand it. In Romans 16:16, Paul writing to the saints at Rome, that's who he's writing to, Romans 1:7 says so. He writes to them at the near conclusion of that book. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You're either in the Church of Christ or you're not. And by the way, there's a lot of churches of Christ before anyone has this thought. I've had this throw up so many times. Yes, there's a lot of churches of Christ that don't stand on the truth. A lot of them. You got to do some investigating along the way. many times today you can just pull it up on a website, maybe do Google Earth and look around the building. That tells you a whole lot. Drive around the building, that tells you a whole lot just by seeing what's there. But obey the gospel. And the only way that you can be a member of the Church of Christ is to obey God's plan of salvation. That's the only way. Number four, examine yourselves whether you be in the light. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The words of 1 John chapter 1. To walk in the light as He is in the light is to walk by the direction of His divine word. The entrance of Thy word giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119. And then verse 50. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 104 and 105. If it wasn't for the word of God, I wouldn't know what to do to obey. I wouldn't know what to do to stay right in the sight of God. None of us would. We're dependent upon God for the information that I need in order to do what's right. You agree with that? In the Old Testament, Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It lieth not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Are you in the light? Have you obeyed? Or, by the way, you can obey and be in the light and then stop being in the light. 1 Corinthians 10:13, wherefore let him who thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. In Hebrews 3:12, let there, brethren, beware lest there be in any of you, he's writing to Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Examine yourselves when you be, number five, in, I'm going to abbreviate this, an unscriptural marriage. I figured I'd throw that in to harmonize with Mark's Bible class this morning. It's going to be a good series, and you need to make sure to get here for it. He's doing a series on the home, building a home that be right in the sight of God, and we all need to hear those lessons. Whether you're in a family now or you're contemplating in years to come that one day it comes, you want to be married, and you might want to have children along the way. You need to lay a good foundation, know what the Bible says about that, so you don't get yourself into trouble. If you're in an unscriptural marriage, Donnie, what's your advice? You ready for it? Get out of it. It doesn't matter if you're in A, B, C, X, Y, Z. If it's not right in the sight of God, stop doing it. Break it off. You know, the Bible does talk about breaking off some sins. And that's what repentance is. You change your mind, and it's evident by a change of life, a change of action. As stated in Matthew 13:3-5, that we'll perish if we don't repent. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and then verse 30. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Preacher, how do I know what a scriptural marriage is versus an unscriptural marriage? Well, what's the answer to that? How are you going to know that? You're going to have to see what the Bible says about that. You're going to have to see the divine pattern, the divine arrangement, what God said about the matter. And you can go to Matthew 19. And you need, as I've done in my Bible, and I suggest you do the same thing, write down in the margin of your Bible, beside Matthew 19, Mark 10 and Luke 16. And then put you a note as the Lord took them back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 because He establishes the home as God arranged it from the beginning. Don't be in an unscriptural marriage. Number 6. Examine yourselves whether you be, all these have in except for a few of them like this one, whether you be a good Bible student. I may never attain to the knowledge that you have. There's some men that I've known along the way, and known a lot of Bible, biblically smart women along the way. I think about preachers that I've known along the way that just, I would sit and listen to their preaching and just be in awe of how they handled the Bible. Filled their sermons full of scripture and could just quote those passages over and over and over. One individual that I had as a Bible teacher in a lot of classes and listened to a lot of his preaching, and not one time do I ever recall seeing him have an outline of any form in front of him. Just very, very... But that doesn't happen by accident. His wife talked about a game that he would play with his children. And the game was, his children would give a verse, and his task was to give the verse before it and the verse after it to what it said, to quote that verse. And his wife said, "I never remember our children being able to stump their father." But he had the good habit of reading through the New Testament every month. That's 10 chapters a day. And through the Old Testament at least once a year. You'll pick up on a lot just in reading the Bible if you commit to doing that. And I'm not saying commit it to memory for any other benefit than keeping yourself from sin and being able to help others when you need it and can recall those passages to be able to help other people. Ezra 7 and verse 10. Be a good Bible student. Purpose from here on out, you're going to be the best Bible student that you can be to the best of your ability. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Do we have to do both? Sure we do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, as you know so well, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Be the best Bible student that you can be. And that'll help all of us. When I purpose that I'm going to be the best Bible student that I can be. Number 7, examine yourself whether you be in a denomination. Now that goes in line with the one that I talked about in point 3. But there are people that you're going to talk with, they're not members of the Lord's church and they're not a member of a denomination. But you're going to talk to a host of people who are members of a denomination. And what do I mean by denomination? A division, a man. That man has come up with. That's what the word denomination means. It's what it implies. It's a division of something else. But the Lord's church is not a denomination because it never split and splintered and divided off of anything. Never did it. Someone said, "I thought that the Catholic Church was the oldest church. I thought the Catholic Church was the first church." Not so. The Lord's church was long before the Catholic Church. And the Lord's church was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah 2 and Daniel 2 and Micah chapter 4 and 5. And other passages that talk about the Lord's church. And Isaiah 2 verses 1 through 3. Well, preacher, I don't think it really matters if you're in the denomination so long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I remember years ago, there was he was a preacher for a lot of years. I never remember him not being a preacher. I knew him my whole life growing. But anyway, in years to come, he would ride to services with me and Tracy. We'd leave early and go pick him up and go to service. Well, one Sunday morning, I was going to call and say, "Hey, we'll be there about such and such time." And I misdialed the number and got a hold of a man who just so happened to be a preacher at a denomination. And I said, "Well, while I've got you on the line, let me invite you to service." And he said, "Well, we may not see eye to eye, but you know there are some essential things we need to agree on, and there are some things that are non-essential." "Well, sir, can you give me a non-essential?" "Well, like the Lord's Supper." "Really? I think I remember some. Did we have authority for what we just did this morning? Do we have to agree upon what we just did this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Acts 20 and in verse 7, Matthew 26. The authority for the Lord's Supper. It is called the Lord's Supper, isn't it? Where does the Bible refer to the Lord's Supper as the Lord's Supper? 1 Corinthians 11. When you come together, therefore, into one place, is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, he's not saying when you come together, don't do it. He's reprimanding them for the manner in which they had been doing it. And then in verse chapter 10, he refers to it as communion. the body which we break, is it not the body, the communion of the body of Christ? And the cup that we drink, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? If you're in a denomination, you need to understand that you are not in the Lord's church. And I don't say that unkind. I don't say that in a mean way. But I would rather you understand it now and do something about it while time and opportunities on your side. Number 8. Examine yourselves whether you be in unity. And now we've got, you have to qualify now about unity. A lot of people are unified. The Catholic Church, many times, unified upon what they believe. The Episcopalians are unified on the Episcopal faith. And you just go on down the line. But we've got to be in unity on what the Bible says. And that doesn't happen by accident. That's why Paul said, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 verse 3. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. Psalm 133:1. When the Bible says it's good and it's pleasant, it'd be a good study. I challenge myself. Remember, I talked to you about a sermon in every sermon. Go through the Bible and pull out the things that God says was good. And God said it was good. Now, I broke down out of Mark's lesson last week. God said it is not good for man to be alone. I've got a lengthy list of things that inspiration says is not good. Go through and look at the things God said was good. When God says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord, Proverbs 18:22, that's marriage is a good thing. A wife is a good thing. But notice when he says how pleasant and good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, I promise you that it is not a good thing, and it is very unpleasant when brethren are not unified. Which would you rather be, by the way? Would you rather be unified at Mill Street or not unified? Would you rather be a part of a bickering, arguing group of people? Or folks that say, listen, even if it's not in harmony with what I thought, I know the Bible's right, and when we know what the Bible says, we're all going to do what the Bible says and please God. That's what I want. And I know you do too. I'm sure you do. Number 9. Two more points. Number 9. Examine yourselves whether... I'll give you this one first. Whether you be... saved. The Bible does refer to Christians as saved. The word saved is used at least two ways in the Bible. From past sins, and there's a salvation that is yet to come. Did you know that? There's a salvation yet to come. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Lord added the saved to the church. Acts 2 and in verse 47. The salvation that's to come is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28. And to them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto what? Unto salvation. So there's eternal life to come. We don't have eternal life now. We have it in two ways. And I challenge you before this evening to find out in what two ways do we have eternal life according to the Bible. If someone will remind me this soon, I'll give you the answer. There's two ways. That'd be a good afternoon challenge for you. Are you saved? If you're not saved, then you need to be saved. And the only way that you can be saved is to obey the gospel, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. Examine yourselves. Last point. Whether you have hope. Whether you have hope. God has given us hope by what Christ accomplished on the cross. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 13, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Christ, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. If you die outside of Christ, if you die in your sins, if you die outside the faith, if you die outside the church, you can also put it, examine yourselves whether you be in Christ. If you die outside of Christ, you have no hope. And I don't either, if I die outside of Christ. Only in Christ Jesus is there hope, according to that passage. And you read it on down through verse 18 when he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Salvation is in Christ Jesus," 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 10. "And God desires for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth," 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 4. If you were to die now, right now, would you have hope? Preacher, what must I do to be saved? It's so very simple. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8, 24. Repent of your sins, as we talked about, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. And be baptized for the remission of sins. That's the Lord's plan, Acts 2, 38. I didn't make that up, and you didn't either. We just simply have to obey what the Lord says to do. Maybe you're here this morning, you've done that, but you've not been faithful as you should. You went back out in the ways of the world. You want to be restored. You can repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Acts 8, 1 John 1, 9. Don't delay. Come right now.